God changed my message last night at about 8. Off of one word. Some of y'all think, no, you're making that up. Listen, I'd rather preach you one word God give me than 100 words that I made up. Before we get into the word, let's pray. John chapter 21, we're going to be in about the first verse. I'm going to preach a whole lot of stuff to you. The title of this message is, Do You Have Any Meat? Amen, do you have any meat? And this is going to be very poignant. I don't like the word poignant. It's going to be to you, specifically you. All right? What are you doing? Do you have any meat? Okay? Let's pray. Lord, help us today. Let us decrease where you increase. God, speak through us. Change lives. We love you. We thank you for saving our souls. We thank you for your mercy and your grace. We thank you for your loving us when we're unlovable. In Jesus' name, amen. John chapter 21, verse 1. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And on the wise, he showed himself. This is how Jesus showed himself again. Amen. There were together Simon, Peter, and Thomas, called Didymus, and Nathanael of Canaan of Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and the two other of his disciples. And Simon Peter said to them, says, I go fishing. They said to him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship. And that night they caught nothing. Peter looked around and said, we're going fishing. Peter's a believer. Peter's been called. Peter's got influence. And if you're a child of God today, you have influence. You have influence on other people's lives. And you're going to send them the right way or the wrong way. You can do whatever you want to in church. You can say whatever you want to in church. You can be spiritual here. It's easy. Everybody's doing it. When you walk out of here, your words and your actions and your deeds are going to pull people in the right way or the wrong way. Peter knew where to be. He was supposed to be in the upper room. He was supposed to be waiting for Jesus, waiting for God to do something. But God didn't do it his way. God ain't always going to do it your way. Amen. God ain't going to do it on your time. He ain't going to do it on your way. He ain't going to do it in your plan. It's his plan. And you got two choices. You can either wait on God or you can make some decisions and do it yourself. When you do it yourself, you're probably going to take some people the wrong way. Man. Peter looked around and they were all listening and waiting for him. Some of you in this room, you have influence. I can't believe it, but in 2018, we have a lack of people who are called to preach the gospel. That should not be. In a crowd this big, we should at least have 10 or 20 people who are fighting and forcing back the calling of Jesus Christ on their life. Y'all didn't like what I just said. Some of you should be sitting there going, right now, you should be arguing with yourself. Do I surrender to the call or not? You should be saying, I'm not qualified. I'm not smart enough. I don't know if I can. I don't know what it looks like, me being a preacher. But you know what? You should be. There should be tons of you in here. But instead, you're leading people the wrong way. You don't like me preaching this way, and I don't like it myself sometimes. But some of you are saying, I'm going fishing, when you should be saying, I'm going fishing for souls. Amen. Ain't nothing wrong with fishing. But when fishing is your main passion, there's something wrong with fishing. I'm going riding. Well, riding's good until riding becomes everything. And you would take a bunch of people riding, but you'll never take anybody to heaven. That sound there. Y'all must really like this, or it's hurting like everything else is. I really know a lot about politics. And you share whether you're right or where you're left, whether you believe or whether you don't believe in the way the government's going. But you will never be that passionate about Jesus because you don't want to offend nobody. Man, you got some people to vote. But if you ever got anybody to elect Jesus into their heart? Amen? Peter says, I go fishing. And 12 or 13 guys said, we go too. And they all went to the wrong place at the wrong time. But you know what I like about this? God will take your wrong decisions and your bad places and make a message out of your mess. Some of y'all are sitting there going, thank God, because I'm in one right now. God, some of y'all even make the mistake and think that you heard the preacher say, God will lead you into a mess. God ain't going to lead you into a mess. He'll let you go into a mess. He'll let you make a mess. And He'll use that mess to make a message out of it, but He won't send you there. He'll just use it. Some of y'all need to say, amen. Somebody say, hey, I've made some messes, and God has made some messages out of it. God, them guys, all of them, when the church gets turned out, when the church gets loose, where does it go? It's out on the lake of Tiberias, fishing for fish that won't come. Amen? Have you ever been doing something that's real easy? It used to be easy to you, but now it's not so easy. Some of y'all need to look. When there's abject failure, when there's failure on every side, maybe you should stop doing that and ask Jesus, what would you have me to do? This used to be easy for me. Peter, could you see them? They're casting that net. Man, if we do this, every technique he had, it's just not working. Why is it not working? Because God don't want it to work. God will let you stew in stuff that don't work where you'll figure it out. This ain't who I am anymore. And man, they're out there all night long tossing and pulling and tossing and pulling and just sitting there thinking, man, I know they're down there. I can do this in my sleep. God said, I know you can't do it, not without me. And I think we settled this in the very beginning. I sent you out to catch men. I want you to be fishers of souls, not fishers of these fish. But I'll let you go down that path. Some of you, listen, some of you sitting in under the sound of my voice, you're still trying to chase and catch what you wanted instead of what God wants. You're still pursuing, you're still chasing what you want. And you're still worried about what other people think about you. I want to get this and I want to get that. And that's not what God wants from you. Every one of these guys in that boat, God had callings on their lives. He wanted them to be somewhere praying and waiting and seeking. But you know what? They were in a boat they shouldn't have been in a place they shouldn't have been in. And guess what? God was all right with that. God was all right with that. Has God ever took you back to school? If He hasn't, guess what? He will. He don't mind to take you back to some elementary lessons in Christianity. He'll take you back and take you and put you in the classroom. I love these guys. They're all sitting in that boat and they've caught nothing all night. Verse 4. But when the morning was now come, all night long, Jesus stood on the shore. Amen. Aren't you glad that Jesus can find you? Amen. Aren't you glad Jesus can find you? Now some of you are sitting there going like this, no, I don't like it. I don't like it that He can find me anywhere. If you're a believer, He can find you anywhere. If you're looking over your shoulder left and right, if you're hiding something from your parents, or hiding something from your boss, or hiding something from your wife, or hiding something from your husband. Guess who else is looking at that? God. He's right there. Amen? I've got a whole other idea about how the disciples discerned this. Some people are always hard, but I think they went back to what they knew. I believe if they had been smart, they'd have got rid of those boats and those nets when Jesus first called them. Can I preach a little bit? Y'all mind? Some of y'all need to get rid of some old stuff. Some of y'all need to go home and get rid of some of your old stuff. Your old way of doing stuff. Some of y'all need to get rid of some of it. Oh, let's do it technology-wise. Some of y'all need to delete some things. Some of y'all need to go in and delete. Some of y'all need to expose. Some of y'all need to say, hey, Mom, hey, Dad, I know you're not tech savvy. Some of you moms and dads think you are, but you're not. Some of y'all need to get rid of some stuff. God's called you to a higher thing, a better thing. He wants great things, but you keep trying to do it your way, and you got something in reserve. You got something on the back burner just in case this God thing don't work out. Amen. I can always fall back to my old guy self. Listen, Elijah, when he came to Elijah, he said, hey, I want you to follow me. He throws him his mantle. You know what Elijah did with his oxen and his plows? Bring you set of oxen. Bring you set of plows. Burn them. He used the wood of the y'all woke up when I said that. All right. Jesus shows up the next morning, standing on the shoreline. I don't like it when Jesus shows up in something I'm trying to do good, and he's really great at it. Amen. Jesus, have you ever said this? I pulled myself up by my bootstraps. God would come back and say, I gave you bootstraps. I gave you arms to pull those bootstraps up. You don't have any talent without outside of me. God is good or great at everything you do. That way, when you do something great, you should glorify God and say, man, without God, I couldn't do this. He's better at it than you are. Amen? I could give you a list of things that God's good at. He's good at healing people. He's better than doctors are. Amen? He could walk by somebody and say, you're healed, and they'd be healed. He's good at purifying water. Amen? In the Old Testament, he said, hey, cut the tree down and let it fall in the water. And he made bitter water or sour water or poison water. He made it well. Man, good. He's good at stuff. He's good at paying taxes. Amen? Hey, Peter, go down and fish, put a hook in the water, and get some coins out of the fish's mouth. He's good at that. He's good at finances. It's amazing. We don't ever let him be good in our finances, but he's good at them. Amen? He's good at marriage. First miracle he ever done. We're out of stuff. No, you're not out of stuff. You got plenty. He saved the best for last. They just didn't get Jesus involved at the right time. Some of y'all need to get Jesus involved in your marriage. Amen? For God so loved the world that he gave, right? You're in marriage waiting to get something. I'm sorry. I can't wait till he changes. Why did you marry him? I can't wait till she changes. Why don't you marry her? Amen? If you're in a restoration project, when you get married, you're going to be disappointed. Because more than likely, they're never going to change into what you wanted them to change into. I better quit preaching on that. Y'all ain't never going to say nothing. Dead silence in here. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Aren't you worried that sometimes Jesus shows up still and you still don't know him? You still don't recognize him? I know he's been resurrected and their minds are hard to get wrapped around, but sometimes Jesus will show up in your life and he wants to do more in your life than you want him to do, and you won't get him involved. How many months, how many weeks, how many years, how much time goes by before we talk to God about it? I think, can I step out on a limb and say this? We go as far as we possibly can go and run out of every possible answer, then we get God involved. He's standing on the shoreline. What you've been doing, what you've been struggling with, what you've been wrestling around with, he's waiting for you to get involved. Matter of fact, they should have said this. Peter said, I go fishing. But Lord, if you've got another plan, I'll go wherever you'd have me to go. But instead, we waste the night. Anybody ever wasted a night or two? Mm-hmm. Oh, I wish it was a night, right? Some of y'all here were, huh? It's been about 40 years. It's been about 30 years. It's been about 40 years. I've been wasting a lot. Jesus stood on the shoreline and he said, hey, children! That's my favorite part. I didn't want to preach that today because I preached it before. I preached all this stuff before. You know what? He says, children, right? Mm-hmm. Hey, that song, hey, he's going to love me no matter where I'm at or what I'm doing because of what he did, not because of what I'm doing. Man, if that had been any of us and we had showed up on that shoreline, we would have called everybody in that boat by what they did. Hey, Thomas, big doubter. Hey, Peter, big denier. Hey, John, boy, you can really run fast. Man, you ran right out of your clothes when they took me out of the garden. Man, that's amazing. And the rest of you are just silent. You didn't do anything. What? Hey, at least we didn't run. whole reason I'm preaching this morning is I want to ask you something. Do you have any meat? Do you have any success as a Christian? The Bible says it this way. As a mature Christian, you'll want meat. As a young Christian, you'll want milk. But I figured out this. When you're on the milk, you get in a lot of trouble. Is that true? I like Animal Planet. I'm a big Animal Planet guy. I really don't watch Animal Planet anymore. I got Netflix. Oh, sorry. That's funny. Netflix. It gives you all the animal channels, and I watch them, like, a lot. So I always watch the lions and some of the big animals because I don't like insects and stuff. But you know what I noticed? I was watching this one episode about one little old baby elephant, and it was on the milk. And you know what its mama had to constantly do? Rescue it. Amen? Rescue it. It had to get it out of mud. It had to get it out of the dirt. It had to get it out of the lion's mouth. It had to get it out of the hyena's area. It had to get it. You know why? Because it was on the milk and it didn't know no better. It kept wandering into trouble because it was on milk. I'm preaching better than you're saying amen. See, if you're still on the milk of Christianity, you're still struggling with all the sins that you should have started struggling with. Amen? You should have stopped struggling with after a while. Guess what? You don't need to keep drinking, not sleeping around, lying, manipulating. Listen, guess what? You need to move up to some meat. If I ask most adult men in here, most of them, now I know there's going to be one knucklehead at the end of service that's going to come up to me, and I'm going to say this, and I'm not going to tell you what my response is going to be. If I gave you a choice, lifetime steaks, lifetime chocolate milk. I know there's one of you in here. Amen. Well, I'm sorry, your man cords are broken, man. Your man cords are broken. Man, it just is. If somebody comes up and says, you want lifetime milk or you want lifetime steaks to eat, I'm going to say, give me the steak. Because I'm grown. Amen. And I can digest and I can handle it. When you get on to steak, guess what? You start making mistakes. When you start feeding yourself, when you start reading the Bible yourself, when you start praying yourself, when you start attending church yourself, mama didn't bring you, daddy didn't make you go, nobody woke you up, guess what? Sin becomes what it is. If you slip into it, if you make a mistake, it's not a thing that you always do. It's out of character. I'm preaching. If you don't listen, it's out of character. Listen, I read my Bible. I pray. I go to church. I'm doing what God calls me to do. Whoops, I made a mistake. People look at you and go, wow, that's out of character. That's salvation. That's living on the meat. Amen? Here's what living on the milk looks like. I'm always out of church. I'm always not reading. I'm always not doing what God wants me to do. And every once in a while, I do something. God would have me to do. And people like to pass out because they go, wow, you're out of character. Man, those roles should take a turn eventually. Do you have any meat? Do you have any success of being a Christian? Do you have any success? Because Jesus looked at him. I mean, he don't even care. This is not something that it's bad or good. I went to the doctor the other day. Amen? I did. I went to the doctor. I hate doctors. And here, you want to know why I hate them? It's not because I don't like them personally. The guy got me. He said, get up, do this. I said, get up, close your eyes, and leave out. I didn't have a problem with that. I was doing that. I did that. He goes, well, guess what? If you had kind of fainted or fell over, you would have had a brain bleed and probably a tumor, but you don't have one. Ain't that great? I'm like, man, you ever thought about being a preacher? That's some of the stuff I try to pull. Amen? That's good stuff. He didn't blame.
is wasting time, then what you're doing right now is not what you're supposed to be doing. Let me ask you a question. Do you have any meat? Do you have any meat? If God asked you, do you have anything, any success in the kingdom of God? Are you leading people to the Lord? Or are you leading them to something they want to do and you want to do? Because at the end of the day, God really doesn't care about the things that you want to do as much as what He wants to get done. And some of y'all are sitting here right now and saying, man, are you telling me that God won't let me? God will let you do a lot of great, awesome, cool things. But He will also ask you one day, do you have any meat of what you're doing? No. Wouldn't it be bad? I know this is old-fashioned preaching, but wouldn't it be bad to stand before the kingdom of God and Him say, how many people did you lead to the Lord? How many people did you try? What did you operate in your callings and your gifts and abilities? But God, I remember I made that one profession when I was about 13 or 5 or 8. And guess what, God? I'm just glad to be here. I'm glad you're here too. But there's a lot of people that you had influence over. There's a lot of people in your life that you could have witnessed to. There's a lot of people in your life that you could have led to. Not. I go to church. Golly, I'm ruining my own job here. I love that you come to church. I love that you're a part of this church. But guess what? The church, you're supposed to tell them about Jesus. Whether they come to this church or not. Your church attendance doesn't have any effect on their eternity. You need to tell them why you attend church. You're a fisherman of souls. That means you attempt to catch them. You don't catch them all. But guess what? You fish for them all. You're the rod. God's the hook and the bait. Are you throwing it? Are you casting it? Amen? This gets so good. Amen? Verse 6. And He said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw the multitude of fishes. I love this, my favorite part. God's good at it, ain't He? What's the difference between the right side of the boat and the left? I've read that my whole life. I've teach this so many times. Jesus, throw it on the right side of the boat. Like all the fish in the lake, we're like, no, we're over here on the right side. Amen? I mean, it's an 8-foot boat or a 12-foot boat, probably 12 foot long, maybe about 4 to 8 feet wide. What's the difference between the right side and the left side? Guess what? The fish listen to God. Amen? Your business is all hinged on God. Guess what? The soul winning business hinges on God. What He was saying is, yeah, you should have caught something with your ability, but it's not your ability that I want. I want your obedience. I want your obedience. I don't want your ability. Matter of fact, can I tell you this? Some of you don't like when I say this, but God usually don't even use your ability. He uses stuff that you're not good at. He uses things that you don't want to do. Usually you say stuff like, God, I'll never do that. And He goes, good, that's what I want you to be really good at. You're going to do that the rest of your life. This is my favorite part of the story. Cast it on the right side. They went one tug. They couldn't even bring the net in because it was so full. John looks at Peter and says, it's the Lord. It's God. Some of y'all, every once in a while, when something good happens in your life, it wouldn't be a bad thing for you to turn to somebody else and say, it's God. It's God. He showed up and showed out. There's times in your life when God shows up and shows out, just lean over and tell somebody, whether they believe or not, whether they're miserable or not, whether they're saved or not, just look at them and say, hey, He's here. He's good. They might walk out, you're a nut. They thought you was a nut anyway. They thought you was crazy anyway. Amen? They were looking for some reason not to like you anyway. Tell them, hey, God's good. Peter said, it's Jesus? Peter, man, ain't that good. I'm out. He bails out of the boat. Hey, Jesus!
I'm coming. Totally forget.
Have you ever ran to Jesus and totally forget where you've been? It's a good thing. It's awesome. He denied him 3 times. Cursed a little girl.
Totally led 12 guys, 11 guys in the wrong place. But the minute he sees Jesus, see you guys later, bails out of the boat and waving.
I've been looking for you, Jesus. Really? They get up to the shoreline.
The boat gets there about the same time Peter does. It's
exactly the way it always works. Amen? They pull the fish up, and guess what? Jesus already got fish on the grill. Fish on the grill. Not caught fish, not filet fish. Fish cooked. Golly, y'all need to... This is good. When did he cook the fish?
When did he have it ready?
The whole time. Yo, y'all get that when you get home.
About halfway home, you'll like, he said the whole time. God's God. He's complete everything. Amen?
Everything you struggle for, he's already got it finished. Hey, it's over there on the grill. It's finished. Right? Everything you've been wrestling, golly, y'all.
Everything you've been wrestling for, praying for, struggling for, sweating for, worrying about, get your butt up. It's done. Amen. You mean we've been out here all night? Instead of getting with you first, we could have been finished a long time ago?
Yeah, could have. But that ain't the point. I wasn't here to tell you. I'm going to use that. I'm going to use that all-night fishing experience later on in your life. I'm going to use that detour you took. I'm going to use all night wasting your time. I'm going to use that because you're going to get next to somebody who's wasting their life, who's wasting their time. Some of you go to school with people who are wasting their life. You need to pull up beside them and say, I used to waste my time. Some of y'all work with some people. Some of you go to church with some people. Some of you live next to some people. They're wasting their time. And you've been intimidated. You've been scared. I don't know if I could tell them. I don't want to hurt them. I don't want to make them mad. You're not making them mad. What you're telling them is you're giving them an opportunity. Remember when somebody witnessed to you. Remember when somebody offered Jesus to you. You still remembered it. I don't care how you react. No matter how you react. Peter got up there. They found out they got the thing. He pulls Peter to the side. You love me? Lord, I love you. Man, I love you. He's correcting and fixing and healing Peter right here on the shoreline. Love me? I love you, Lord. You know I love you. Anyways, feed my sheep. His calling's still intact. Everything God wants to do for you, even though you were in the wrong place, doing the wrong thing at the wrong time. Hey, love me? Yeah, I love you, Lord. Second time hurts. Hey, Lord, do you love me? Our Lord goes, Peter, do you love me? Yes. Yes, you really love me? I love you. The third time, he starts figuring it out and drawing the comparison. Wait a minute. He's asking me for every time I asked if I knew him, and I denied him. He's totally restoring me. This ain't all about the boat trip. This is about my whole life right here. He asked him one last time, do you love me? You know what Peter said? You know my heart. You know why he knew his heart? Because when he was in the upper room, and he said, I'll never deny you. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. You know what God said? Tonight, before the sunrise, you'll deny me 3 times before the cock crows. He knew his heart then. So you know what Peter said? Take a look. I wish some of you in this room right now would go, hey, God, I'm not being honest with you. I'm not living for you. I'm wasting a lot of my time and my effort. If you asked me right now, do I have any meat? I would have to say, no, I don't have none. I wish some of you would come up here and say, God, I'm going to open up my heart to you, and I want you to save me. Not that salvation I tell people I got because I go to church. That salvation I got because, you know what? I'm going to go fishing for people. I'm going to start telling people about Jesus because guess what? Once you get the real thing of Jesus Christ, you'll want to tell somebody about it. You'll want to be different. You'll want to live different. You won't be happy doing what you've always done. I love that last time, do you love me? He goes, God, you know what he said? Feed my sheep, feed my lambs. You know what he did? He sent Peter on a whirlwind for the rest of his life serving God. You know what? He wants to do the same thing for you. He wants to do the same thing for you. He wants to get in your life. So I ask you a question tonight. As they come get a song, we all stand. Do you have any meat? Do you have any success? Do you have anything that you've done for God? God says in His Word, it says at the end, we'll all bring what we've done in our lives to Him. He said, hay and stubble, useless stuff, it'll burn up. But the good stuff, the gold and the silver, the choice things that He's used you for, more or less how people have been saved and lives have been changed, that'll be remaining. That'll be what you get rewarded for. That's what God will say, man, this enter in, my good and faithful servant. Thank you for doing that. Let me ask you, is there anybody in here needs to be saved? Is there anybody in here needs to say, God, I really need to refocus, quit wasting my time, and get about God's business? That's the offer today. That's what these altars are open for this morning. Maybe you want to come and say, you know what, I've been a Christian for a while, but I've been wasting a lot of time. Come. Come.